Welcome everybody to episode 41. I think I said we should stop counting, but I think we're on episode 41. If not, it's episode 42. So this is our Misfits bonus episode. Misfits being the the superhero show, the British superhero show on E4.
It would be lazy to say that it's the America's UK version of Heroes, but I think we have no choice to say that anyway. And it's just. I mean, I personally think it's just a lot cooler than Heroes again. And it's just very British, grimy, dirty.
Yeah. I think we spoke about it when we were recording it in one of our previous episodes, why it's better than Heroes and stuff like that. But I mean, Heroes, it just went horribly wrong. I think the first season was okay, and then they lost interest themselves. So, but yeah, it's very different. It's, as usual with British shows, it has a much shorter episode per series. I think the first episode season had 6.
Yeah.
And the second had 12, right?
No, the second also has 6. And then they made a Christmas special and made a 7 episode.
Oh, right. PDS. Okay. Yeah. So, me and Marty had the chance to see a special screening of Misfits at the BFI, and we had a Q&A with the cast and crew and the creator, Howard Overman. So they pretty much showed us the first episode on a big screen, which was kind of cool.
But this is season 3 we're talking about.
Season 3, indeed. So, we didn't want to post anything before, because if we want to talk about it in detail, and maybe even spoil a few things, and since the show is coming out, the season premiere is tomorrow on E4, so Sunday. I thought, yeah, let's have a chat about it now, and let's just see what our thoughts are about the show. So, Marty, I mean, we're both huge fans of the show. I know our colleague, our friend Ahmed is too. I think he is, right?
Yeah, he is. He really likes it.
Yeah, anything with superpowers. But yeah, obviously, because he's in Belgium, he didn't get a chance to go to the FI screening. But I mean, when I started watching the episode, I realized that I hadn't seen the Christmas special. Like, apparently, a lot has happened since then, right?
Yeah, a lot has happened since the Christmas special. The Christmas special was, I think, actually a really good way to have a season finale, in fact. The way that it really concluded the Christmas special was that the gang had the ability to let go of their powers or get some new powers out. And you see the Christmas special ending with Lauren Soccer. She walks towards a guy, and then the show ends, and he's a guy called Elliot who, no, that's not right, he's not a guy called Elliot, he's somebody else.
Yeah, he's like, what, a power broker kind of thing, right? He buys and sells power or something like that. And I think he's probably going to have some sort of backstory in season 3. So basically, the gang has changed powers, and we've lost one of the main characters. Was he still there in the Christmas episode, or did he leave, or what happened?
No, he was still there. He was still there.
Okay. So I think there was a web episode, a specific web episode, where you see Robert Sheehan's character, who was pretty amazing. It's one of the reasons I used to watch it was because of him. He was playing Nathan. He's just such a talented actor, man. But I think he's doing some theater. I've seen his posters around town. I don't know what he's exactly doing. But he's not part of Misfits Season 3 anymore. And they give him kind of a small throwaway line that he's in Vegas or something like that. But he has been... Let me just see what he's doing. I think he's doing theater now. He did a movie, Killing Bono, which I didn't see, but I was planning to, but I didn't get a chance to. But anyway, I know they're doing some sort of theater somewhere in London. So the gang has changed, their powers have changed, and we've got an addition of a new character, Rudy, played by Joseph Gilgan. And he was also present at the Q&A. And actually, he was kind of like, it was almost a one-man show at that time. He was like super excited to be part of the gang and the new cast. Marty, what did you think of the We want to talk about the VFI or screening first, or we want to...
Yeah, let's talk about
it. Yeah, let's talk about the screening first before we get into the details of the show. So at the screening, we had... these names are hard, man. We had Lawrence Soka, I don't know how you pronounce it again.
Nathan Stewart Jarrett, who plays Curtis. There was Lawrence Soka, who plays Caddy Bailey. And you had Joseph Gilgan playing Rudy. And Ewan Rian, who plays Simon.
Yeah, and the creator of the show, Howard Overman.
Yeah.
So they kind of presented the season first, and then they answered a few questions from... There was a round table, kind of, right? There was one of the writers was kind of leading the questions. I gotta say, Lauren is exactly like her character, no?
she's very much like her character in real life, actually. it was a fantastic evening, actually, because the cast and the crew were sat amongst the audience in the NFT One screen at the British Film Institute. We had a fantastic chance to see first episode of season 3 for many, 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 many other people in the country.
Yeah.
And we were obviously sworn to secrecy as well. The producer of the show came on stage, was a little bit paranoid about everything, and that was that, really. So
we actually would have probably spoiled it, but she was really hot, so we decided to listen instead. But it was funny for me, because it was the first time that I was actually... Because it was the first time that I was surrounded by Misfits fans, in a way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a show I watch on TV. I wasn't aware there was such a... I mean, I know it's successful. I never knew that it has such a following.
I agree, actually. I was also surprised, but didn't really know why I should have been surprised.
Yeah.
That there were sort of like hardcore fans there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They sort of knew very intricate plot details from season 1 and 2 and things
and
like
some
that.
Characters that you were like, who is she talking about?
So it was really interesting. It was really, really good. So it was one of those evenings at BFI that I was really happy to be.
It was also surprising the age gap between the hardcore fans and us. Like, already, it's like these guys are still in school. And I mean, apparently this is a show that appeals to that demographic, which I kind of always felt that it was a bit too old for. But maybe I don't know shit, you know.
Yeah, I think it's... I guess it's just 4 years.
Yeah. But they were younger, no? They were, like, a lot of them looked like in school. But...
Right. Maybe because we're not there, because everybody who is young is listening.
Yeah, I felt weird. But yeah, it was a great chance to see the cast, the crew, and they all look like a fun bunch of gang, a bunch of guys, you know, like pretty down to earth and a good laugh. And they generally seem like friends, which is also good.
Yeah, and Joseph Gilgan and Lauren Soka actually live together.
Not
in a romantic sense.
Yeah, I don't know what that meant
but,
actually.
But they do share a flat, I think.
They share a flat? Oh, that's weird. Okay.
And Lauren Soka is quite pregnant as well.
Oh, was she pregnant? I thought she'd already had the baby.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And she also came from her bathtub, apparently. Yeah, I've been... It's funny to really love a show, but because it's not kind of an American property, I'm not like... you know, like, there's not that much discussion about it going on. But they did mention that there's...
It's just understated British.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, if this... But, I mean, it was interesting to hear that they are planning to maybe export it to the US, which to me is kind of worrying. I don't know how this could really work there.
It's risky to do that transfer.
Where would they put it, in like the ghettos of LA or something, or like Compton? Is that what they're doing? What is the plan?
I don't know. I mean, I think the interesting thing about the British one is that the location for the filming is what was a very futuristic, or intended to be a futuristic sort of housing complex that was put up in the I can't remember when it was made, but after the Second World War, sometime. So it's a bit. It's very sort of concrete, and it was designed to be, I can't really sort of describe it, but there's sort of a big sort of expanse of water, lots of...
You mean the community center?
Yeah, where it's actually set. And if you watch Misfits, and perhaps you're a fan of Stanley Kubrick, or particularly Clockwork Orange, it's actually where a lot of Clockwork Orange was filmed as well.
Really?
So when you see at the beginning of the guide, I think it's near the beginning when the droogs are walking along, and they push somebody in the water, I think.
Well, it's Alex that picks one of the
Yeah, that's actually...
That's where
that's the Thames Mead State.
Hmm.
it looked familiar. In East London, and it was exactly the same.
It looked familiar now that I think about it. Now that you say it, okay. Yeah, so they're trying to export it to the US. Probably not with the same past, I imagine.
No, I think that's going to be a wholesale past.
I don't know. I'm worried about that. I don't know. I mean, like, we were speaking yesterday about The Office is probably the only, like, good export that they managed to do, right?
Yeah, they failed miserably with transferring Absolute Fabulous.
Yeah.
I think of many other things that they tried.
Skins, most recently, they tried.
Oh,
that just failed. Like, also because the content was something that American parents were a lot more worried about. And that's what I'm saying. I think Misfits is a pretty raw show. I mean, you get to see there's even a lot of sex and violence and kids die, which I know Americans tend to be a bit more careful about. I don't know. It's pretty... Yeah, I'm wondering how it will look like. Anything else that happened in the community that was interesting?
Other than the fact that Joseph Gilgan is a proper, genuine live wire. It's not that there was a show to steal, but I mean, questions and sort of answers rapidly sort of all came back to Robert Gilgan.
Yeah, he's not only taken over
Joseph
kind of,
Gilgan, sorry.
He's not only taken over from Robert Sheehan, but he has also taken over kind of the leader position in a way. Like, they all kind of turn to him in a weird
manner. Sort of the gregarious, I'll figure out what happens next. Even though he's not necessarily a proper leader.
Yeah.
He's just the kind of like go-to person.
Yeah, and he's only been there probably for two episodes, the Christmas special or the... No, he wasn't in the Christmas
Not even in the Christmas.
Yeah, special. He was in the web episode or something like that, and now he's in here, pretty much taking the lead role. That was kind of interesting too. One more thing that I found surprising is none of these people are into comic books.
Yeah, that was true. Actually,
like even Howard Overman, he's like so. It's funny, like how fans are invested in different timelines and this and that, and it seems like they don't give a shit that much about comic books or any rules. And I think maybe that's what's refreshing about the show.
Yeah, they don't necessarily feel confined by the unwritten rules of the comic book. But actually, you're right. None of them had any knowledge really about that.
It
was really good.
The girl in front of us in the Q&A, she was like sitting in the middle. So they pass a mic around if you have a question. And so they had to pass the mic to the middle of the row. So it took like 10 minutes to get the mic to her. And then she asked the question, would you think something about Justice League or Avengers? And nobody had any clue what even any of those words meant. It was so hilarious. I felt bad for the girl, man, because she was like, that was the one question she wanted to ask. And that nobody had like any decent answer for it. It was pretty hilarious.
I think the other thing that was quite good about the Q&A was that right near the beginning, they actually said, no questions about what superpower would you want if you could have a superpower.
Yeah, that's the question they hate the most.
Because they've been asked that question, I guess, on hundreds of occasions.
Yeah.
So that was out of bounds. It was good. Just to sort of see the cast and see how they are in reality, I guess, and to know if they've got other projects coming up and what's going on. And I think the thing that I also found was that there was clearly a lot of enthusiasm for not just the show itself, but for the writers and the producers and the directors from the cast. And so it seems like everybody involved in the project is just really into it.
It
seems like they have a really good time on set, making each other laugh when they're doing their lines and things. So I think that does help me.
So, okay, let's get started about the season premiere itself. What did you think about it?
I really liked it. I wasn't sure how it was going to go with Robert Sheehan's character not being there anymore.
Yeah.
But as I think we've mentioned already, the new guy has firmly taken over. And if not, sort of raised the bar maybe a little bit. I think some of that's also, it's quite strange because the superpower that the new guy has, in some senses, that almost reflects how he is in real life.
Yeah, I think it's the case for all of the Misfits to a certain degree. So what happens is we're catching up with the gang again. So Robert Sheehan's not around anymore. We get introduced to Rudy's character, who is, what is his superpower? He's like, he kind of splits up his psyche in a...
It's like he has a double. Sort of like a twin alter ego.
Yeah.
But it's not just a mental thing, it's also a physical.
Yeah, so he kind of can clone himself or something like that, and then one is his confident self, and the other is kind of the doubter or whatever, however you can say it, like the introvert. And he has a past with Aisha's character. But okay. And then the second part is that the gang is kind of back. They're not in community service. We end up with them. But they're back to their regular lives, right? So, and they have new superpowers. So we see, Curtis is back working in a bar. Simon and Aisha are going out. Although I think there's kind of a bit of a struggle again. Not like, I mean, because she was kind of in love with future Simon, and then, yeah, I don't know what happened there. I didn't actually understand that they were going out together. So, maybe that happened in the Christmas show again.
Yeah, a lot of that relationship was interesting.
Yeah. So, that's going on with them. Lauren is now her new superpower is she's a rocket scientist, right? But it's obviously still Lauren, so nobody really believes that she can create a rocket. Everybody thinks she's stolen pans of a rocket and is trying to hawk him off or something like that. So we get back together with them, and then we see kind of Rudy interacting with them and kind of them discovering each other, and shit kind of...
So things really just happen in sort of true Misfit style with, I guess, a death.
Lots of sex, anal apparently.
Yeah, that is quite true.
But again, I mean, this season is going to have 8 episodes, not 6. And this is pretty much the introduction to Rudy, I would say. I think that's pretty much the whole episode. And at the end of the episode, we know that, A, they have, all of them have what kind of superpower they have. I think we figured it out for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Curtis has a really shit one.
Yeah, Curtis is able to turn himself into a woman version of Curtis.
Which looks like Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know where they want to go there with... Aisha has, she can put herself in somebody else's shoe. Shoes, like mentally. I guess that's interesting. And Simon is pretty much future son, right? So turning to Ninja Simon. And at the end of the show, they pretty much, episode, they end up back into the service.
Again, in sort of Dream of Slip style, they're all back into the service.
Yeah.
With actually the same probation officer as well, who actually has quite a, for a, just a sort of like a side role, I think he's actually quite good.
Yeah, he is. And plus, he survived them. No, it doesn't happen a lot with me working at Invincible.
Yes, that's right.
It's kind of, I like that last shot because it's almost like they put their superhero costumes back on, you know? Because it's a show where they don't want to be superheroes at all, you know? And they end up being it in a way, in a funny way. So, yeah, it's a kind of a cool hero shot they got after that. I mean, everybody in the cast is pretty good, right? I mean, kind of appreciate all of them now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's an important point, though, that you make. They're not anti-heroes, but they're just unheroic.
Reluctant heroes.
They're reluctant heroes, and they're... superhero costume is that just an orange water suit. and that is the sort of superhero uniform. Very low key kind of superhero nature.
I think there's more, there seems to be, it was quite action heavy too. There was a lot of special effects and everything, and you can see it. I think the budget's also a bit more than, I mean, they're building off the success of the first 2 seasons. So I think you can see that in the first episode already. And I hope it does good. They got a few more writers on too. And I think they were saying in the Q&A that every episode is going to be centered around one of the characters, which is also something Misfit does really well. Although now they have H, there probably is going to be some sort of overarching.
I mean, I think the thing that we've seen with the first 2 series is that there are maybe sort of self-contained sort of series storyline. Mm-hmm. But in season 3, I'm hoping that we'll actually have maybe just sort of like a longer kind of sort of plot arc. Maybe things will be less kind of like series self-contained.
Yeah.
We'll have some, I guess we're going to have the theme about Simon being the future ninja.
Yeah.
That's going to keep going throughout his relationship.
Yeah, I guess. Because
at the moment, there's no kind of set goal, I think, for the show to sort of aim towards, you know, in however many seasons.
Howard did say he has an idea, but he doesn't know how to get there yet. But also, I don't know if he meant the entire series or just this season, so... I think it's just kind of the things that... Do British shows do that much? Like, if they're, you know, they don't have... I mean, that is then the disadvantage of being so short, that you can't have one big storyline that's epic in a way, that's something like The Wire is, you know, like, that just goes on for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, it's also a very recent development in the way he's done, you know? It used to be this way. So yeah. So the action, it's pretty action based. We get the character. What else? Oh, do you remember seeing the what's on the next episode thing? I don't.
I don't remember the trailer enough.
It's been like 3 4 weeks already for us. We were just kind of waiting for to host this, so it's kind of not that fresh in our minds anymore. But did this show us a sneak preview of episode 2 also?
Yeah.
I think it was a Lauren based episode, wasn't it?
I'm really. But I think Lauren wants to change her power slightly.
Yeah. She's not really happy with her power, but yeah, let's see how that goes. So, any case, Misfits is back from Sunday, so.
So Sunday the 30th of October, E4,
Yeah.
the UK channel at 10 p.m.
Yeah, and it will definitely be tuning in. And I think for me, like we spoke about Pan Am recently. This is Misfits is a show I just want to watch straight away. So
Yeah.
I can't believe I missed out on the Christmas episode. I still need to go walk back and watch. There's a lot of it. It doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, really happy it's back. I think although Robert Sheehan will be missed, I think Joseph Gilgan does a great job. So quite excited to have him part of the cast. And just good to see everybody else. I like these characters, and like you said, I am very interested on how Simon will become Future Simon, or he is Future Simon now. I don't even get it anymore, but it's interesting, and it's definitely something I love.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's I think one of maybe only two shows that I'm gonna be properly sort of watching in real time. I mean, week to week, I'll be setting my recorder for it. And the other show, which is also gonna be on E4, starts very soon as well. But I'll talk about that on another occasion.
Anyway, so that was it. Short episode because it's just we've only seen the first episode, so there's not that much to talk about, I guess. But we'll definitely be catching up with this throughout the show, and I'm sure Ahmed will have a few things to say about it, so we'll get a chance to watch it. So thanks for listening, guys. As always, you can find new episodes on newpodcasting.com or email us at newpodcasting@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Exactly.